Hey everyone, it's Kelly here. Welcome to another episode. And I'm joined today with Lisa Monka, who's an LPCC and certified dance movement therapist in San Francisco area. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I really find your practice interesting as you combine dance therapy in your private practice. I think oftentimes when people consider any kind of movement in the therapy world, many people associate with like group work or classes and teaching. How do you incorporate movement into your practice working with individuals?
So it's interesting. I think everyone comes in with a set of goals, right? And if we look at those goals, they don't have to be met just through verbal communication or verbal therapy. So if someone comes in each week, someone will come in, and it's kind of like the same as in regular old talk therapy. They come in, they give you kind of a little synopsis of the week, or you say something like, "What's going on? How are you doing?" And that opening question gives you like all the insight into where you kind of want to dig that day. Same thing kind of happens in movement. It'll be like, "Well, I'm having trouble with boundaries," or, "I'm really feeling kind of down." And those kind of cues give me an idea of what to work with in movement. But I'm also kind of assessing in the first couple of minutes. We'll do a warm up. So first, like 5 to 10 minutes is like a dance movement therapy warm up. And that gives me a chance to look at, okay, what's going on in their body today? And I'll ask them straight up too, like, how are you feeling in your body? What's going on for you? And I'm simultaneously analyzing their words and their movement to kind of decide where to go next, right? So say if someone was feeling really down and they're having trouble motivating, I wouldn't start with something really high energy movement-wise because it's too much of a jump. But I might start with a little bit of low energy and kind of titrate up to a little bit more high energy for them. So it's just meeting them where they're at with movement.
Have you ever, like, how long have you been in practice? Remind me.
Oh gosh. So 2006, I graduated with my MA in dance therapy. And I actually did all the group work that you talked about, like state hospital type, prison, all of that, like inpatient psych. And then in private practice, I think I started around 2016. And then I joined you guys in about 2020.
Do you ever apply the same principles you use in session to yourself in building your business?
That's a good question.
Like, do you use your body as a tool for working through stuck places in your own business?
If it's in my business, sometimes I'll notice I'm not motivated, right? And that'll be like going to my body and, a meditation or what is it, as I'm kind of scanning my body, where is that held or stuck sense? Do I need to move that body part? So maybe it's not specific to my business, but then the effect would be that it helps the business, right? So I'm just feeling really stuck and low energy today. What are some options that I have? Can I go for a walk? Can I do a little bit of yoga? Can I move the part that feels really stuck and see what kind of energy comes out? Can I just sit with it? All of those things. And then I think after that, you can kind of look at that block. Why am I not feeling like blogging today? Is it something about this day? Has it been a whole week? Do I need to think about that? All those things that can happen. So, yeah.
So when you started your private practice, I think it's just the reason I bring it up is because I feel like a lot of therapists, when they're starting their practice, they do have skills that are clinical that can be applied to helping them navigate the business building journey. And I love how you use your body to sense where am I at and what do I need to do in order to be more expansive, to be more open, to be more in flow with my life and also in my business. It kind of like outpours into all areas, like using your body as like a compass. It's something we talk about in business school, right? Your body tells the truth. And so listening to that body and giving it what it needs in order to support you through your daily life, I think it's a beautiful skill that you have that you brought in from the beginning of starting your practice. When you started your practice, What did you think success was going to look like?
That's a good question. I think, I don't think I really had that conscious of a thought because I came, so I started my practice full time, I think just after Trump got elected. And I think I knew that I wanted to just make sure something was sustainable, right? I was like, can I for myself make a living? That was my only goal, was like, I'm going from something that's really super secure, which is like a paycheck every 2 weeks, right? Something that's not. So I think in my analysis, I just made sure I couldn't make a salary and that my overhead wasn't too high. But I didn't really have a thought about, is it going to be sustainable? Is this going to nourish me? Like all of these things. And I think success definitely, it has to do with, are you able to live your life while you have a practice, right? So I might have a practice. I might see 30 clients a week for, I don't know, whatever contracted rate, maybe with insurance, but I'm not thriving. I'm just kind of there. And so for me, I think success looks a lot more like being able to set the goals in my life. Like I'd like to travel, or I'd like to be able to achieve these financial goals. And whereas I don't think that was on my radar at all before.
So along the way, what would you consider some of the points of success that you have experienced in your practice? Knowing that I think like success is sometimes talked about from this perspective of a pinnacle, like I've achieved this and there I'm done, kind of thing, versus like celebrating each step and each part. And what are some of the things you're most proud of in how you've done your practice?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I went straight through grad school. Like, so from undergrad to grad school, I think I was done with grad school at 23, which is super young for, especially for this field. And I think there was a moment where I was like in the grocery store and I was like, is this it? Like, I did achieved all these things, but now I'm bored, like it always felt like I was striving for something. And then what do you do if you're not striving anymore? What do you do if there's not a like another pinnacle or another mountain to climb? Do you just give up? Do you like, is that it? Yeah, okay, I've done everything in my life. I'm done now. So I think a lot of it is learning to be patient with yourself. I think some of the successes I have had have been being able to incorporate dance movement therapy and getting paid sufficiently for it, like for my area, which San Francisco, we all know, is a little bit pricey, or a lot pricey. So I think that's one of the major things, was being able to actually do my specialty and not feel like it was, what do I want to say? Like being able to do my specialty and not feel like it was, oh, well, I'm asking too much, and this is an experiential auxiliary therapy, and not giving it its due. And then I think just being able to go completely without insurance for the most part. I have one insurance company that I keep on, but that's it. Like that, I don't want anything else. Like I don't want any other things that are going to interfere with my goals in that sense.
And what you mentioned, too, about that like aspect of the success of the business means that you're allowed to have your life. So what do you feel that your business has allowed for you to create personally?
So I think now, as I'm getting more towards full, which hopefully will be, my caseload around 15 clients a week or so, 15 slots, I'm now able to, and especially with the pandemic, I'm able to travel. I'm able to make these concessions. I'm putting away some money for retirement. I also am one of those people that's super cautious and has like a like two life insurance policies and a disability just in case, like, so I'm able to keep paying on all the those things and start to take time off, which has been really lovely, so.
How have you felt with, I mean, when you started your practice, what did you consider full would be?
Like 25 clients.
Right. And what are
Yeah.
you learning now about what full is for you?
I think full is around 14 or 15.
Right.
Yeah, because 25 insurance clients was insane, you know? And maybe it was 20 on a good week, but it was still a lot. Like, if you think about it, like, that's the kind of output that just drains you, you know? And, but even that felt like a relief coming from inpatient psych, right? I was like, ah, 25 hours, this is wonderful. But I also wasn't doing all the business side of stuff, you know? So,
And
yeah.
I think that the reason I'm kind of drawing on this is because everyone is different. Someone may be listening to this and being like, 20 is so great for me, or 30 is so great for me. It's again going back to using your body and your energy and your situation and circumstance and really reading into that and leaning into it and honoring it to create something that's right for you. And we can always start with like, this is better than the crap that I came from, right? In my county job or my federal job or whatever, this nonprofit work, because the bar is so low. And then you get to then raise the bar as you go through experience and attunement with yourself, and that you've now landed in this beautiful place of really understanding what is right for you.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think one of the things to mention for dance therapy, one of the main tools is mirroring, right? And I'm mirroring clients' body movement a lot. If the clients are really sick, like an inpatient psych, you can come home exhausted. You've been in unhealthy movement patterns all day. So I think for me, because it's a lot more present and a lot more bodily, you know, just being in my body, but also having like one foot in what my client's doing, their kind of movement, you know, the unhealthy parts of it. So that mirroring is used as a method of attunement and helping the client know that you're meeting them. It's not on a conscious level. It's like the idea of, you know, you're sitting with someone and all of a sudden you're sitting the exact same way, you're crossing your legs the same way. Well, we do that unconsciously. Dance therapists are taught to do it consciously, but the end result of that is we can take on a lot of unhealthy movement patterns. And I think, you know, you said like how to use your clinical skills. I think another thing that I've had to do is like really work on healthy movement for myself. I need to be taking my own dance classes. I'm a dance therapist, but I need to be doing movement that feels healthy to me. And I think that's part of why the 15 hours works well for me is there's a lot of toll on your body in some ways.
Yeah, that's incredible. I had no idea that it took that kind of toll on you. And how beautiful that you have that attunement, because I think a lot of people are not aware. They're disembodied. We're dissociated a lot from our bodies. Our culture is very much like, let's be in our minds all day long.
Sure.
And that if we were paying attention to our bodies more, I imagine a lot of people's caseloads would be less.
I think so. And you know, right, we set our pricing at such a point that it's not so we have to do to just push through and ignore our bodies, I hope, right? And it seems, I think that's one of the things that you're trying to encourage is like coming back into your body and feeling, hey, what is okay for me? Like, if every time I take on 20 clients, I feel ill, maybe I should pay attention to that, you know? So I think that is something to consider that when we, you're right, when we become more embodied, one, it can feel more uncomfortable. Like, and we see this with folks that have trauma all the time that are cut off from their bodies. And then as you start to get them in their body, the first thing is like, oh my God, this is so much to handle. They're feeling all the sensations that they bottled up for a while. So, you know, but it's good and bad to come back into your body, right? There will be moments that feel good and there will be moments that you're like, I don't like being in my body.
So when you think about this journey of building your practice, what are some of the things that you have felt have shifted things for you, or that have kind of greased the wheels, so to speak, of this journey, to get you to a place where you're creating something that's in alignment?
We have a guest.
For those of you that aren't watching the video, oh, your doggy's so cute. You should check out the video.
I think Some of the switches that you have to kind of make, and I think one of the main ones that came out of Zinni for me was just believing I deserve to have a practice with ease and kind of abundance. And if I'm asking whatever my fee is, it's not too much, it's what I need. And we should have practices that nourish us, not in that we're only taking clients that, oh, I'm sorry, you seem a little complicated, go away, like that's not the goal either. But who are the clients that we serve the best, and who are the people that fill us up when we do work with them? Like, I think those things are nourishing. And then also the ease of, like, financial ease. Like, you shouldn't have to, and we've been told this, and it's a lie, I think, in therapy, any kind of therapy school. Like, as a dance therapist, they were like, you're gonna make $30,000. Like, we shouldn't have to just scrape by. That shouldn't be our default as therapists, you know?
The whole aspect of like your worth and value, right? Like humans are priceless. This work is priceless. You can't put a price tag on healing intergenerational trauma. You can put a price tag on what it takes to pay your rent and your groceries and put in some money for retirement. Those things have prices that will help us inform what we need to make in this work, you know? And it's sort of that, how did you do that work to come to a place of honoring what you need? You know, what did it take for you to get there?
I did a lot of my own work too. So one of the other modalities that I'm working on getting certified in is dynamic attachment repatterning. And that's repatterning like adult attachment styles and looking at developmental trauma, which, as we all know, is probably where we get those messaging. The messaging around worth in particular, I would say, comes pretty early. So working with a therapist that really specialized in those things was really helpful. And I think doing your own work is going to be key as a business owner, because I can say, my hourly rate's going to be 300. It isn't, but let's just say 300 feels huge to me. So my hourly rate's going to be 300, but if I don't believe I deserve that, I'm really going to have a hard time justifying it. So how do we do that internal kind of, for me, it was therapy work. And that is a great way to go about, I think, making that shift. Like, I think you can find those blocks within yourself, right? And if you don't remove that block, even if you pay lip service, like, this is my price, I'm gonna go for it, like, you're not gonna move forward.
One of the ways we do that in business school is brain spotting. It's another way to like kind of identify where those kind of stuck points are and kind of to shift the flooding of the nervous system around it, you know, so that there can be more expansion and openness to honoring of the self, right? When you it let, let's say someone's listening right now who is struggling in their private practice growth or their journey, what kind of words of encouragement do you have for them?
I would say it's possible, but go regulate your nervous system. Like, go figure out, and then from a body perspective, can you go towards something that feels good? So look at your whole practice. Go towards the tiny thing that feels good. If everything else feels bad, go towards that little tiny thing that feels good, and just notice if you can sit in that good feeling of, like, hey, I did really good work with this one client. It might be that I only have five clients right now, but I really nailed it with this client. And then just feel that, like, energetically, like, I could feel like kind of goosebumps because I know what that good feeling in my body feels like. And if you just sit with that, it will shift your perspective enough that then maybe you take the next little hurdle, right? But I would say go towards the thing that feels good and sit in it, and then try and do something else. Don't try and do something from your place of lack, right? That place of fear. If
Or
fear
shitting on yourself, as we say. I should do this.
Right.
I have to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, and if fear is dictating your decisions as a business owner, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
You don't want to do
Yeah.
that.
I love this. I think it's such beautiful advice. And for those of you who are listening, you may even just want to check in with your body right now to see how that lands for you. That are you staying in tune with how things feel within you and letting that help you guide yourself towards something better in your private practice? It does not all have to be hustle, hard grind culture. That is how capitalism keeps us oppressed. And really, like, if we open up into our hearts more and having a heart-led, body-felt business, an embodied business, I think our clients will benefit from that, but more importantly, we will benefit from it. So, Lisa, thank you for sharing your story. It's so lovely to see you and to get to share you with the world. I love what you do. I love your passion and how you show up for your clients and what you've taught me about using the body in therapy. It's been a delight to watch you grow and shift and step more into the fullness of who you are.
Thank you, Kelly. And I appreciate so much like you and Miranda and all that you guys give to me. And all our boot camp folks. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a great community, I think.
It really is.
So
We got a lot of winners.
if people want to learn more about you, what website could they go to?
So it would be my website, which is lisamanca.com. So my last name is spelled MANCA. So
Yeah.
lisamanca.com.
We'll have it in the show notes. And for those of you who are listening, go check out Lisa and really take with you something from this that you can implement, if anything, being with yourself and using your body as part of the business building process. It's so important. And until next time, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.